Kamusta po kayo? Welcome to our midweek study. Today we'll be looking at the second half of our study on the second commandment or the second word. But before we begin, shall we come to the Lord and ask for help? Lord, we thank you for this opportunity again to be in your word. We pray that you would teach us and show us truths that would be of help for us, Lord, as we live our lives for you in this life that we're in right now, especially, Lord, in the pandemic that we're in. We continue to ask you that you'd guard and guide our thinking as we are embraced by your truth. Your word is truth, O God. In Christ's most precious name, we pray this. Amen and amen. Welcome po ulit sa ating mong pag-aaral ng ating Exodus, ng ating pag-aaral sa Exodus. As we are continuing our study on the Ten Commandments or the Ten Words, as we have said, ngayon po, brings us to the Second Commandment. Sabi natin, last time, we looked at the essence of the Second Commandment at kung paano ito related sa First Commandment. We said the first commandment points out the one true object of worship. The second commandment tells us the right way to worship that one true God. Yung first commandment po is a command for us to worship God alone. The second commandment calls for us to have purity and spirituality as we approach this one true God. Sabi natin last time, yung unang commandment, yung unang utos ay pinagbabawal ang magpuri o ang sumamba sa maling Diyos. So mga Diyos-Diyosan condemns the worship of false gods. Ang second commandment prohibits false forms of worship, maling pamamaraan ng pagsamba. Kasi sabi natin, an act of worship is internal and external. It first starts with the heart, our conviction, our whole being, and then we express that outwards. The last time we were together, sabi po natin, this commandment, the second commandment, is very comprehensive. It's all-inclusive. Sinabihan tayo na wag sumamba, wag gumawa ng mga imahe, not to make any images of anything or everything that is above the heaven or that is in the earth beneath or anything that's in the water under the earth. May naiwan po ba? I don't think so. Everything is covered. All spheres are covered. We are not to make heavenly images, earthly images, and images that are under the water. They are all forbidden. And so, sabi natin, that rules out making any religious images and religious relics as a starting point or as some would say, a connecting point to worship. Mali pala yun. Maling-mali po yun. And when we ask, bakit bawal yun? Can you, and if I ask you, give me a biblical reason why it's wrong to worship images. You might say, because God is spirit, and that's spot on. That there is no way that we can make a physical representation that could capture everything about God. Kasi pag ginawa natin yun, then we will be limiting God. We would be belittling God, right? We would be making God less than He is. At hindi po ito tama. In fact, alam natin, sinabi ni Kristo sa Samaritan ng babae sa well in John chapter 4 that God is spirit and therefore we ought to be worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. So, yung answer na bakit hindi tayo dapat sumamba sa Diyos-Diyosan o gumawa ng mga anumang mga imahe nito, dahil ang Diyos ay espiritu, therefore we should worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that is a biblical answer, and may I add, a very sound biblical answer. Pero sa passage na ito, sa Ten Commandments, sa Second Commandment, God gives us an immediate reason, and may I also say, a more powerful reason why we should not worship graven images. Tingnan niyo ulit yung Exodus 20 verse 1, verse 4. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God. That's the reason na binigay sa atin ng Panginoon Diyos. God would not tolerate worship of anything or anyone other than Him or any other form that He has authorized, that He has prescribed. Then He goes on to outline for us the outcome of doing such. Tignan niyo ulit yung verse 5. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Ito yung ating pag-uusapan ngayon. We have seen the essence of the second commandment. Now we will be looking at the verses attached to the second commandment. Ano yung sabihin nun? What does it mean that God is a jealous God? What does it mean that He visits the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation? Ito pong talatang ito, madalas po nami-misquote. Madalas hindi nagagamit ng tama. So, I think it's just right for us to spend time and understand this. Unang-una, sabing ganun sa atin ng Panginoong Diyos, siya mismo nagbigay sa atin ng rason, sabi niya, we should not make any graven images. At sabi niya, kasi siya ay isang mapanibughuing Diyos. He is a jealous God. Now, kung magiging honest tayo sa ating mga sarili, we often identify yung salitang jealous with how we understand jealousy, and so we struggle with it. Tama? Ang Diyos, jealous, diba? Siloso, and parang selfish siya sa pandinig, diba? Parang sinful siya. Because we understand the word jealousy. We identify with that. We feel that. Hindi ba? Nung ako po ay bata, meron akong siya. Nag-iisa lang po yung kapatid ko. Ako po yung pinakamatanda. Naalala ko po, nung bata pa ako, madalas ako magselos sa aking kapatid. I usually get jealous of my younger sister kasi parang sa kanya lahat ng atensyon kasi siya yung bunso eh, siya yung baby. Tapos kailangan ko magparaya. Sabihin sa akin lagi, "No, pagbigyan mo na, ikaw naman ang kuya eh. So ingatan mo, bantayan mo." Parang feeling ko nasusupress ako, gusto ko maglaro, parang hindi, ang dami kong gustong gawin pero kailangan ko bantayan ng aking kapatid. So nagseselos ako yun sa kanya. I was jealous of my little sister kasi she gets all the attention. I need to be giving in all the time. But I'm pretty sure na kung bubuklatin natin ang kaisipan ng kapatid ko noong time na yon, kung uusisain natin na kaya nararamdaman, I'm pretty sure that she also got jealous of me dahil ako yung mas matanda. Kasi bakit? Mas marami akong pwedeng gawin. Pwede ako maglaro sa labas, siya hindi kasi baka madapa, or pag umuulan, ako pwedeng maligo sa labas at habang nakikipaglaro sa mga kaibigan. And so, you get the point. Jealousy is pervasive. It depends on your point of view. Hindi po ba? And what point of view our fallen hearts take would easily lead us to be sinful in our jealousy. Dahil meron tayong fallen heart, because of the fallen nature, our flesh, we would always want to have what we want. Diba? And so, we become jealous, we become envious, naiingit tayo, nakaramdam tayo ng pagkaselos. Pag nakikita natin, like sa case naming dalawang kapatid, nararamdaman ko yun sa aking kapatid. So, jealousy, at times, we associate with selfishness talaga at sinfulness. And childishness. kung hindi lang binanggit siguro ng Diyos sa talatang ito na sabi niya, ako ay jealous God, siguro we would not even dare to say that God is a jealous God. Kung hindi lang nakasulat yan, we would probably actually find it blasphemous to say that God is jealous. But he says, God himself says he is jealous. And so, kung sinabi ng Diyos na banal, 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 na siya ay jealous, that he is a jealous God. So, there is such a thing as a godly jealousy, as a righteous and holy jealousy. Tama po ba? There is a jealousy that is free from sin, free from selfishness, free from childishness. And we can actually see this on a human level. Diba? A godly, righteous husband jealously guard against anything that would steal away their wife's affections. Kaya alagaan niya lagi ang kanyang asawa. He would shower, he would protect, he would shower his wife with love and affection. He would protect her. Diba? So, same goes with a godly wife. A godly wife jealously guards against anything that would hurt the affections of her husband. Si Apostle Pablo affirms that there is a godly jealousy. 2 Corinthians 11, starting from verse 2. Sabi ni Paul, Paul says this, "For I feel a divine jealousy for you." Si Pablo sabi niya, "I feel a jealousy for you." Nagsiselos ako para sa inyo. And he said, "This is a divine, a holy, a righteous, a godly jealousy. Since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Paul was very jealous of the Corinthians' purity. He hated anything that would blemish their purity because he knows that he has set this group of believers apart only for one God, only for Christ. And so whatever that can destroy their purity brought dishonor to Christ, and therefore kaya galit si Paul. And Paul says that this kind of jealousy is divine jealousy, a godly jealousy. Yung jealousy ng Panginoon Diyos is just like that. It is that holy vigilance to be guarding against anything that would steal our affections away from Him. At kung papansinin natin mga kapatid, if this is what we see, then God's jealousy is rooted in His love for us. Tama? Because God loves us, He must hate anything that can steal our love for Him. And that includes images. Ba't ko nasabi yun? Because according to 1 Corinthians 13, that chapter about love, verse 6 tells us that love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices with the truth. And because God loves us, He hates that we would do something that is evil. He cannot rejoice in that, but He rejoices in the truth. And so, God's jealousy is an expression of His love. Pero again, dito tayo dapat mag-iingat. We need to be careful to think that God's jealousy is like the human emotion of jealousy. His jealousy is not a passion that rises and falls in response to some stimulus, something that is outside His control. Hindi po ganun. Para natin sinabing hindi siya in control. Instead, God's jealousy, listen, God's jealousy is fixed. It is permanent since God is unchanging. Tama? It is part of His being immutable. It is therefore the immutable disposition that God has against anything and everything that would undermine or diminish His creature's love for Him, the Creator. So yung jealousy ng Panginoong Diyos, hindi kagaya ng uncontrollable passions natin, na na-experience natin, hindi ba? It's not a feeling of jealousy, but a deliberate and unchanging contempt at pagkagalit for anything or anyone that challenges His rightful place in our hearts as sovereign God. Kasama dito ang images. God's jealousy is rooted in His love. But hindi lang doon. Hindi lang expression ng pag-ibig ng Diyos ang jealousy. It's also an expression of God's anger. And just like His love, that is eternal, His unchanging jealousy, His anger is not fluctuating either. Hindi yung parang nag-fluctuate. His anger, His holy indignation, as well as His holy love, is a consistent, permanent, fixed disposition. Yung love niya fixed towards those who are His. Itong ngit-ngit niya is fixed towards those, towards sin. Those who are going on in sin. Huwag natin laging isipin, don't even attempt or even think and try to explain na ang Panginoong Diyos, ang kanyang affections and attributes are kapareho ng ating passions. Hindi po. It is the steadfast, God's anger is a steadfast loathing, steadfast anger towards anything or everything that would pretend to rival Him. It is as unchanging as His unchanging love. Diba? Kasi kung susumahin natin mga kapatid, God's love for righteousness would mean nothing, diba? Ang Diyos, alam natin, banal. Alam natin, natutuwa siya sa kabanalan, sa kabutihan. Then, yung kanyang kabutihan, yung love niya for righteousness would mean nothing if He does not hate all that is evil. Nakita niyo po yan? Right? So this passage tells us that God is jealous towards any kind of idol worship. Even those kinds of idol worship that is ascribed to the true God. If you make an idol that represents other gods, you are sinning. Because that is a violation of the first commandment that we should have no other gods before Him. But if we make an idol and try to explain that they are supposed to represent the one true God, we still sin. Because that is defiance against the second commandment. And that is to worship the true God outside and beyond His prescription and to our own comfort and liking. Kasi kahit tayo ay sumasamba sa totoong Diyos, yun ang sa isip natin, di ba? Ngunit hindi sa form na gusto ng Diyos, that is as evil and detestable as worshiping other gods. Hindi natin pwedeng limitahan. Hindi natin pwedeng ikahon. We cannot confine God's glory to an image because He is just so glorious. And it offends Him if we try to do so. Consider natin yung ibang mga pahayag at mga talata. Consider Exodus 34 verse 14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Yung banal na jealousy, holy jealousy, is so much part of God's character and nature that one of His names that He calls Himself is that He is jealous. Again, i-emphasize ko ulit ito, baka makalimutan natin. If we try to worship other gods, that is idolatry. But if we worship the one true God in a way that He has not authorized, that is still idolatry. Si Jesus naman may worship ko eh. Through an image, that is idolatry. Napansin nyo ba? Diba, we know the history of Israel with regards to idol worship. Did you notice that God was offended when Israel was worshiping the golden calf, thinking of it as that's Yahweh? Pero he is offended just the same as he was offended when the Egyptians were worshiping flies, frogs, diba? And other animals. It's the same sin, friends. It's the same sin. Make no mistake about that. Isaiah 42, verse 8. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. That is my name. My glory, ang aking luwalhati, I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Friends, seryoso ang Panginoong Diyos. Deuteronomy 4, verse 23. Take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make a carved image, the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Consuming fire daw ang Panginoon Diyos. Right? Deuteronomy 6, verse 14. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you, for the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. Seryoso ba ang Diyos? And these are just some of the many passages that says that God is a consuming fire, that he is jealous, his name in fact is jealous, and he would not share any glory with another. Imagine nyo, ang creator, i-co-confine natin sa created. That is detestable to him. Listen to the prophecy of Zephaniah. Zephaniah 1:18. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them. Yung mga diyos-diyosa nilang gawa sa dinto at pilak, hindi raw sila pwedeng iligtas, sabi ng prophet Zephaniah, ng Panginoon through the prophet. On the day of the wrath of the Lord, in the fire of His jealousy, sa apoy ng kanyang panibugho, all the earth shall be consumed. For a full and a sudden end, He will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. So again, I'm reading these passages to say that God's jealousy is a serious thing. It's a serious matter. That is why we need to have scripture. We need to let scripture shape our understanding of who God is and how we ought to be worshiping Him. But not only is God jealous for His deity, His glory, His majesty, we also see that God is jealous for His people. Nahum 1, verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. Zechariah 1, verse 14. We will put these two prophecies together. Zechariah 1:14. So the angel who talked with me said to me, "Cry out, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion." Put both prophecies together, talking about God's jealousy. Sa Nahum, we see that he reserves his wrath for his enemy because he is jealous. In Zechariah, we see that he preserves his people because he is jealous. Right? So God doesn't want us to make for ourselves any graven images. We cannot exhaust everything, but I think that is fair enough for us to consider how serious God is, because He is a jealous God. His jealousy keeps a watchful eye on us and keen for us to be worshiping only Him, because this jealous God knows that this is the best thing that we can do. That his people, the best thing for his people is to worship him and him alone. It is for their good, it is for our good, and for His glory. Okay? So we settled yung jealousy ng Panginoong Diyos, right? Look at Exodus 20 again, verse 5, last portion. For I am the Lord your God, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. Again, this is a familiar expression for most of us. And we may have been troubled by the implication of this threat. And we may have been confused as to what this truly means. Here we see, plain and simple, God Himself saying that as parents, we better be careful because our own children, even our children's children, can be adversely affected and in some cases even incur divine wrath because of the sins that we commit. Immediately we conclude that this is talking about generational curse. Diba? Therefore, we ought to be renouncing it, seek deliverance from it. Now, are there really transgenerational effects of sin? And is it just for the children to reap their parents' sins? Discuss natin yan in two spheres. Logical. Common sense tells us that this is true. Practically true. Example. Kung meron kang alcoholic na tatay or a mother who is a drug addict or perhaps ang tatay mo na sugarol, alam natin that if they won't stop with these vices, with these sins, it would greatly affect their family. How many times have we seen kids stopping their schooling, di ba? Because of their parents' irresponsibility. If your parents are unfaithful towards each other and ended up splitting up and start having other relationships, that would have a lasting effect on their children. Tama? So the sins of the parents indeed affect their children. Often their children imitate the sins of their parents because it was modeled for them. Even though they know and they've experienced themselves kung gaano kasakit itong mga kasalanan ito, they still tend to follow their parents' sins. I know of someone who hated his father for being a womanizer and a heavy drinker. Sabi niya, hindi niya gagayahin. Only to find out, because na kahit galit na galit siya sa tatay niya, he was doing it himself. And if you talk to him, it seems like he can't help it. Pero tuloy pa rin siya sa sinasabi niya, galit siya sa tatay niya. Friends, that is one of the disturbing and sad truths of the depravity of man, the depravity of our hearts. Diba? We already know the painful consequences of these sins. We have experienced them, but nevertheless, we would still choose the very sins that has hurt us because our hearts are bent towards that. And we tend to embrace the sins of our parents. And so, in that way, our parents' sins can be visited on us because that is our sinful bent and tendency as well. And that is particularly true to the context here of idolatry. The context here is idolatry. Okay? Ang sin na particular na pinapatukulan dito is the sin of idolatry. Thus we hear, di ba? People say, pinanganak ako sa pananampalatayang ito, dito na ako lumaki, therefore dito na ako mamatay. Right? I said that before. Had it not been for God saving me and having mercy on me, I would continue on. Kinalakihan ko eh. Nakagawian ko. Yun ang pinalaki sa akin. Right? Take the case of the history of Israel, for example. after Jeroboam, after he split the nation into the northern and the southern kingdom, at nag-set up siya ng golden calves for the people to worship, just like what Aaron will do as we would progress in our study of Exodus, every generation of rulers in the northern kingdom followed in the sins of Jeroboam. The northern kingdom, after the split, their kings were mostly bad kings. Kung meron mong mabait, kakarampot lang. Bilang sa isang kamay. But the rest were bad kings and have led the kingdom to worship idols. And this sin was so compounded that the northern kingdom was attacked by the Assyrians as an act of punishment and judgment by God. So friends, worshiping of idols have a poisoning effect on the worshiper as well as his children. Listen to Psalm 115, verse 2 to 8. Why should the nation say, "Where is their God?" Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. Their idols, yung Diyos ng ibang nasyon, are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear. Nose, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel. Feet, but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. Verse 8. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. Psalm 135, verse 18 says the same thing. Those who worship them, those who make them will become like them, so do all who trust in them. Si Paul, nung nangangaral siya sa 2 Corinthians verse chapter 3, verse 18, sinasabi niya, those who follow Christ are being conformed by the Holy Spirit to the image of Christ. And here we see a spiritual principle. You become just like what you worship. To the believers, to the Christians, we are being sanctified. We are being transformed from one glory to another to become more like Christ. Not that we will be gods, okay? But we would be true and genuine followers of Christ. Those who worship idols in the same way would become like them. They would become spiritually blind. Wala ngang paningin yung mga idols, diba? Spiritually deaf. Worshipping idols and trusting in them would turn the worshipers into what they are. And they would start building an evil legacy that might affect their children. And friends, if we would continue on with idolatry, we'd be leaving a bad legacy, a bad example for our children. Pero again, the principle here should not be understood in a superstitious sense. Okay? Yun naman kayo pag gusto sabihin. Eh. Hindi superstitious ito. Some think that some evil sin, some secret sins that their parents has doomed them. And there's nothing that they can do about it. Nakakalungkot, may mga believers na naniwala pa rito. Bondage breakers, deliverance. These are prevalent teachings in the charismatic movement. Na meron daw mga kasalanan ng mga parents natin na hindi natin alam. Baka may mga idols, baka may mga anito, baka may mga libro sa loob ng bahay na dapat natin i-renounce. we should confess to stop demonic influences. Friends, lovingly, that is superstitious belief. Yeah, that is superstition. And this is not at all saying that itong passage na ito. No. And such thinking, such superstitious belief, belittles the power of Jesus to set one free in salvation. Dama? Sabi nga ng Bible, if the Son of God sets you free, then you are free indeed. This verse is a warning to parents to not be involved in idolatry. Right? But this is not a principle for people to be superstitiously fearful about unknown demonic influences that might affect them because of siguro kung ano nilarong manika ng nanay nila. And we see that from the passage itself. Tinan nyo. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. People who hate God participate in their parents' sins, and therefore they're the ones who would suffer their parents' sins. It's not for the Christian who love God. It's not for the believer who serve and respect and worship God. In fact, look at the promise in verse 6. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Friends, hindi siya mahirap intindihin. We just attach our superstitious belief in this verse to say, oh, naku, may ginawang mali ang tatay ko. Naku, ang nanay ko mangkukulam dati. Ang tatay ko nagtatawas. Then, therefore, kailangan kong hanapin yung mga ginamit nila noong unang panahon so, kasi naapektuhan ako. No! We're missing the point. This is simply telling us, this the attachment to the second commandment is simply telling us to trust God. Trust God. Obey Him. Worship Him in the manner that He wants us to worship Him. And in our context, trusting Christ would break the pattern, hindi curse ng sin, the pattern of sin in your family. It's not about getting rid of certain things in your house, and verbally and ceremonially renouncing them to lift the curse. No, trusting God in repentant faith would break the pattern of sin, because what we have in Christ is a beautiful, beautiful redemption. So Christians, ha? You should not fear na yung kasalanan ng parents mo would have a curse on you, spiritually speaking. In fact, in Romans 5, turn your Bibles to Romans 5. Romans 5 verse 1, we read this. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Wala kang dapat ikatakot. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we also obtain access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So therefore, we should not be living in fear of the quote-unquote generational effects of something that your parents did. Kung ikaw ay believer na kay Kristo, if you have been justified by Christ already. Okay? God does not visit the sins of the fathers upon believing children, those who love Him. It is actually simple as we see in this passage. Love God, you will be free from the bondage of sin, including the negative effects of your parents' sins. If you love God, if you obey Him, you can hide in His mercy. That is the point of this passage. Pinagbabawalan ng Diyos ang Israel na magsumamba ng ibang Diyos-Diyosan, sumamba sa Kanya, sa ibang pamaraan. Right? Umasa sa katapatan ng Panginoong Diyos sa Kanyang pag-ibig. Don't miss the promise attached to the warning. We're not supposed to live under a superstitious fear that our spiritual destiny is somehow affected by the sins of our parents. Friends, kahit gaano kasama ang mga parents natin, regardless of how evil our parents have been, the cycle of sin, the pattern of sin can end when you put your faith in God and worship Him alone. Siya lamang. And why are we certain of that? Because our God is a just God. Right? Nakita natin sa attachment na passage na God is a jealous God. Nakita natin He is a God who judges. Diba? But He is also a just judge. He is a just God. God does not punish innocent people for sins of others. Huwag natin isipin yun. Isang tao lang gumawa nun. It only happened once. For an innocent person dying for the sins of others, it only happened once in Christ. Listen to Ezekiel 18. I hope you would go to Ezekiel 18. Medyo mahaba-haba ito, but I'd like for you to look at this. Starting from verse 1, Ezekiel 18. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. Naapektuhan daw ng pagkain ng sour grapes ng tatay ang ngipin ng mga anak. Sabi niya, why are you repeating this proverb? Itong kawikaan na ito na nakagistan siguro nila. Verse 3, as I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father as well as the soul of the son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Napansin nyo? Kung sino ang responsible, siya ang kukuha ng paghahatol. Verse 5, if a man is righteous and does what is just and right, if he does not eat upon the mountains or lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, does not defile his neighbor's wife or approach a woman in her time of menstrual impurity, does not oppress anyone but restores to the debtor his pledge, commits no robbery, gives his bread to the hungry and covers the naked with a garment, does not lend at interest or take any profit. So he's listing down, kung ang righteous man, hindi niya ginagawa ang mga bagay na ito. Right? Verse 9, walks in my statutes and keeps my rules by acting faithfully. He is righteous. He shall surely live, declares the Lord God. Huwag tayong matakot kung may kasalanan ang tatay natin o nanay natin. Verse 18, talagang nasa verse 18. As for his father, because he practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what is not good among his people, behold, he shall die for his iniquity. Yet you say, verse 19, why should not the son suffer for the iniquity of the father? When the son has done what is just and right, and have been careful to observe all my statutes, he shall surely die. So, hindi kung ikaw ay nagmamahal sa Diyos, nagtatapos sa Diyos, sumasamba sa Diyos, you will not be affected spiritually by the sins of your father. Verse 20, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the father, nor the father suffer for the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Right? Verse 21, but if a wicked person turns away from all his sins that he has committed and keeps all my statutes, so may pag-asa pa pag nagbago sa biyaya ng Diyos, and does what is just and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of the transgressions that he has committed shall be remembered against him, for the righteousness that he has done, he shall live. What is the point? What is the point of our study? We should not have graven images and worship them, even if we are worshiping the one true God, because he hates that. He is a jealous God, and he would judge those who would sin against him, but he is also a just God. And this reads that we are not to suffer the sins of our parents if we are already in Christ. Only those who follow in the footsteps, who perpetuate the sins of their parents, they are the ones who will suffer the consequences of their sins. No Christian will suffer the sins of their parents, because Christ took all our sins and paid for it already, and have set us free, and have credited to us his perfect righteousness. And again, friends, as we look at the law, we can see grace. We should not make any graven images and worship, because God is a jealous God, right? But the Bible also says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And that brings us to the gospel, right? It brings us to the gospel that we ought to be surrendering and putting our faith and confidence in Christ. Because in Him, His righteousness will be reckoned as ours. And He will keep us safe. No one can snatch us out of the Father's hands. No one can snatch us out of Jesus' hands. Right? So, dear ones, mapanibughuin ang Diyos. He is going to bestow judgment, but He is also just. And if you go and put them all together, it's pointing again to Christ. The one, we cannot make any graven images. We just cannot. God Himself made for us an exact representation of Himself. Diba? Go, and we'll end with this. Colossians 1. He is the image. Thou shalt not make for yourself graven images. Sabi sa Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Nahihirapan tayo kasi our bent is to make images for ourselves. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Right? The law actually points to the gospel. Right? I hope this study of the appended verses to the second commandment has been helpful for all of you. Right? If you're in Christ, you are free indeed. You are free indeed. Pray tayo. Lord, we thank You for teaching us today. I know we would run out of time if we would continue on digging into Your glorious word, but this is, for now, has been enough for us. Thank You for teaching us that we should not be putting and attaching superstitious belief in the warnings that You have given to those who would dare follow in the footsteps of their parents in towards worshiping You through graven images. We thank You, Lord, that You have given us, You have provided for us your Son, the image of the invisible God. And thus, Lord, we open our Bibles, read about Him, rest in Him, in His person and His character, and you would be blessed, and you would be safe in Your loving arms through Your Son and in the preservation of the Holy Spirit. Again, Lord, salamat po na marami sa pagtuturo Niyo sa amin. We pray that You'd bring us back next week as we marvel again in the glorious truth of Your holy name, of Your holy word, as we look at the third commandment. Salamat po na marami. We pray that You'd bless the remaining hours of the night, and that we would be able to honor You and bless You in the things that we would say, think, or do. Sa pangalan mo, Jesus, ito aming dalangin. Amen. Thank you for joining me. See you all next week for our study on the third word. God bless you and good night.